Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, beloved. As always, it is such an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath that corresponds with July 1st, 2017. We are already through half of the year. You know, that's amazing how time flies so fast. But I greet you. I say grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In that we be encouraged, built up, which is edified, that we be empowered, that we be enlightened in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah in this day and time that is so dark and so difficult, so dangerous, for these are the perilous times that the Lord forewarned us about. And it behooves us to know the word of Yah, and so that we don't think these happenings are as strange as they are, and we're not caught by surprise or caught off guard. These things are supposed to happen if, in fact, we believe the good promises of Yah, that we are to experience the salvation through the return of our Lord and Savior, His only begotten and beloved, wonderful Son, Yeshua the Messiah. Then it is expected, if we're going to believe in that, the salvation that has been promised, then we have to believe that in the events or the events that are to precede the coming of the Lord, because He is the only one that is able to rectify the situation. He is the only one that is going to be able to correct and bring a resolve to the problems that are exacerbated by men continually trying to right their wrong when they have not repented, when they don't acknowledge that they are the problem, that they are the wrong. So Yeshua is the only one who's going to be able to rectify the situation or rectify the problem, and it's going to come with judgment, and it's going to come with a sword against the wicked because they are the problem. Though they blame others and point the fingers at others to be the problem, not acknowledging themselves to be the problems, to be the problem, which are the politicians, which are the leaders, and even the religious leaders, political and religious leaders, but men that are in high places and have authority to affect other people's lives and not even care and know that they're doing this. So Yah sees them, Yah understands and knows this. It is our duty to come unto Him, to repent, to acknowledge our ways, that sinful and evil, wicked ways that we have within us, to acknowledge that, to examine ourselves. And upon examining ourselves, if we find ourselves to be in error, then take advantage of the mercy and grace of Yah and come into repentance, meaning to change from that behavior, from that conduct, from the foul, filthy mouth of in communication and, you know, the things like this. It behooves us to take advantage of the mercy and grace. That's the only thing we can put confidence in and be rest assured in is the grace and the goodness of Yah and His judgment that is to come, you know, against the wickedness of this world. And it gives us the peace of mind in the midst of the chaos and the havoc. We need peace of mind. We are bombarded. This culture, this society is so inundated with spirits of demons that have been unleashed from hell. And it's just a bombardment. We had no sense of community. We had no sense of anything that we can really draw from that can be a fine example. You know, when you come out of your churches, you know, and even when you go into the churches, you see the elements of the world in there. So there's no sanctity in there. There's no sacredness in there. And then certainly when you leave out of a place of worship where you may be feeling better, then you come out and you look back into the world, and then we become filthy again. Or, you know, if we're not strong enough to maintain and keep the sanctuary in our heart and in our mind and rely on the Spirit of Yah, through Yeshua and not on men and religious institutions and organizations and places, Many don't have that capacity to have the church within. Many don't have the capacity to be the church and to have the Spirit of Yah that would edify us, that would correct us, that to have an open line of communication with Him, that when we're wrong, when we're off in something, He pricks our spirit and we give heed to that pricking of the Spirit and we repent and we acknowledge that we're wrong and we humble ourselves before Yah. You know, many of us don't have that because we're on the breast of religion. We're on the breast of the churches, these organizations that are not designed and set up by Yah, truth be told, you know. And so it's sad. It's sad. And we're in a soul-sickened nation, a sin-sickened, soul-sickened nation, you know, soulless as a matter of fact. But God is faithful. He is true to His word. His name is great. He is not a God that He can lie, that He would lie, that He should lie. He is faithful. God is righteous. God do things for His name's sake. God do things for His faithfulness' sake. God do things for His righteousness' sake, because He know that no man can stand before Him in judgment. We are all guilty before God. Even when you're talking about a God that is an absolute of righteousness and holiness, there's nothing that we can do to be in right standing with Him in and of ourselves. There is something in our lives in and of ourselves that God can point the finger at and hold us accountable to. This is why it is so imperative for us to have one such as the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because, see, God was pleased with Him. And when we're in the Messiah and the Messiah is in us, that's the thing. A lot of people are in Him, but He's not in them. But when there's a mutual relationship, when we are in Him and He is in us, then when God looks to bring about His wrath and not His chastisement, because He chastens them that He loves. Or I can even say this, when God looks to chasten us because we're children of His, He does it with the Messiah right by His right hand, allows for the mercy and the grace to renew itself again on our behalf, to give us another chance as we strive into perfection. And I'm not talking about those that are willfully sinning, purposely sinning, have no mindset such that they're communication line with Yah is non-existent. He can't even get their attention. I'm not talking about those individuals, but I'm talking about one that is conscious and steadily striving to be in the likeness of the Messiah and to walk in the way in such a difficult, such a dark world. So my lesson today is America, a peck-sniffing nation, a peck-sniffing nation. And it is the same as saying America, a hypocritical nation. Because peck sniffing, just going to wordplay and definition, peck sniffing is unctuously hypocritical. It is unctuously hypocritical. And when I say unctuously, it means it's used to describe someone who speaks and behaves in a way that is meant to seem friendly and polite, but it is obvious that they're not sincere. That's what unctuous means. And then just hypocritical. And also pharisaical. Pharisaical being after the Pharisees. Mean that is marked by hypocritical, censorious self-righteousness. Hypocritical, censorious self-righteousness. What is the censorious? It's having or showing a tendency to criticize someone or something severely, being very critical. And in the form of a self-righteousness, which the Pharisees were guilty of. And this is this government prides itself as a religious institution, if you will. You know, because they say a prayer before the Congress and the senators, I guess the House, they pray every morning. They call themselves Christians. So, as much as it is straying away from that whole idea of religion that it supposedly was founded on, it's still tied to religion. You know, they still honor religious holidays. They still, when America gets in trouble, she want to go into prayer. These are religious activities. So this is a religious nation, but we have to understand the religiosity of this nation. You know, and it is not a religion that is ordained of Yah. It is not a religion that Yah has decreed. The religion that Yah has decreed for all of humanity, it has to first, yes indeed, first come through Yeshua the Messiah. There is no other prophet. There is no other God. There is no other idolatry. There is no other anything else that can compare and that can come against the true and living, the Almighty Most High God, the God of Israel. It all has to come through him. Even Ishmael has to come through him. And the prophet Muhammad, that is the Arabs and other Muslims, they got to stand before the God of Israel. We can make no mistake about that. Buddha, the gods of the Hindus, all going to have to stand, and all their followers going to have to stand before the true and living, the one and only, the Almighty Most High God of Israel. They're going to have to stand. Every knee going to have to bow before the God of Israel, and they're going to have to confess before Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of God, who was resurrected from the dead after being buried for 3 days and three nights, crucified, blood was shed, but he's seated at the right hand of the Father now. All are going to have to bow and confess and stand before him. It's the truth. And so these men in these high places, you know, we're dealing with principalities. We're dealing with powers. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we're dealing against these elements and that have an effect on people's lives, on people's livelihood. And in this, the people are grieved. The people are heavy burdened. And so, with that being said, getting back to these politicians in this nation, the hypocrisy of it, you know, I had a thought today, and I got to say this, you know, and before I get into my lesson, and it's this, you know, and it goes with it's what inspired me to come with this message. But I can't believe the gall and audacity of the Republican Party to criticize Democrats for not supporting President Trump and accusing them of being obstructionists when 24/7 of President Obama's term in office, they obstructed him, criticized him, disrespected him, and brought the office of the presidency. They brought the office of presidency to ill repute and dishonor just because a black man was occupying that office. And now that they had their man, who is the actual personification that they falsely accused Obama of, they crying foul. And so these racist Christian conservative Caucasians are sin sick. They are soulless, hypocritical, self-righteous, deceived. They are liars, and they are devils. I don't even make this comment in support of former President Obama. I think he was the worst thing to happen to our people, black people, in recent times. You know, his presidency made matters worse for us, and he offered no help or no defense for us, making matters worse in regard to even the effeminizing of black men and how the first black president gave a decree to let it be legal for a man to marry another man and a woman to marry another woman, and to embolden and empower the homosexual sodomite agenda. The first black president, as if we don't have enough character assassination of being made less than a man. And now we have a president who appeared weak in office. He personified, as President Trump is personifying the racists and the accusations they put on Barack Obama, as he personifies them, Barack Obama personified the races that attacked our character, that made us to seem as weak men, that made us to seem as effeminate. And President Barack Obama get in office, and all the false accusation and all the demeaning things that were said against us as a people, he personified that in being weak as a black man. And then to cap it off with accepting a man being with another man and a woman with another woman. So with that being said, he offered no help or defense for us. And a lot of those police shootings that killed our black men, young and old, were bullets meant for Obama. Black people suffered and sacrificed a lot for Obama's presidency, and we will suffer more in the days to come. So I don't say what I'm saying in this message in support and speaking against Donald Trump or about Donald Trump in support of Barack Obama. This is why I make this point. But truth is truth, and just like my Father God, I'm no respecter of persons. I see and understand what these wicked racist Republicans are doing. They can dish an all-out attack against President Obama 24/7 for 8 years, but now can't take it for 6 months since their sacred cow, President Trump, who is their holy of holies, he is their Messiah, just like black people thought that Barack Obama was their Messiah. For whatever reason, they was happy about his election. The racist, conservative, Caucasian, Christian people, leadership and people hold in high regard and high esteem Donald Trump. And by they, I am referring not only to the Republican leaders, but the whole Republican base. That would be Fox News and especially Sean Hannity and just, you know, that whole base, Rush Limbaugh and all of them. So quite honestly, it is amusing what God is doing to make fools of these people. It is amusing. He is openly exposing these people hypocrisy or their racism and hypocrisy, you know, because they are an unfair and unjust people. And what they have torn down during President Barack Obama's term in office is now permanently irreparable. What they have done against the office, what they have done to America, it is irreparable damage. Yet they foolishly think they're going to repair the damage they have done and make America great again. You fools! You have only sealed this racist, ungodly, wicked, hypocritical nation's fate. That's what you've done. You have aided and abetted the enemies of this nation. And the chief enemy of this nation is God. You are only going to be a tool that God uses in this nation. Because listen, President Trump will be black people much-needed chastening rod. Much-needed chastening rod. We need it. When you look at our behavior and our conduct, you know, when you look at the way that black people without shame, the way that the filthy communication, the filthy mouth, and the filthy behavior, and just the whole, it's such a disgrace what we've been reduced to from where we've come, and our ancestors have died and shed their blood, but for us to get certain privileges and rights in this land, but even more so deeper than that, the blood that was shed through Yeshua the Messiah to take away the whole sin factor from us and to be reconciled back to God. And look where we are as a people. So we need the chastening that's to come. We are very hypocritical people in a lesser degree because we don't have the power and influence. But the association has brought about assimilation. And what a character that is befitting for the Gentile Caucasian man is not befitting for us, so it turns us out even more. So the chastening rod is much needed. But God will also be, but he, and that is being Donald Trump. So he, for us, he is a much needed chastening rod. Black people going to feel it. They felt it through Obama. We're going to continue to feel it because these people are angry. They're very thin-skinned. They can't take what they dish out. They can't take what they give you. They're very fearful. They're paranoid now. They're schizophrenic now. They're psychotic now. They understand in their soul of soullessness what something in them is a desperation. They sense they're losing, and they're going to retain by any means necessary what they can to preserve their white supremacy, their white power, and their white privilege. They're going to do that. And Donald Trump is the symbol of that for them. So as much as he is a chastening rod, but he will also be the wicked, racist, self-righteous America's much-needed destruction. You know, America prides herself as a nation, being one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's the Pledge of Allegiance. They pledge this allegiance to a flag, not to God, but in that Pledge of Allegiance, they say one nation under God. They say indivisible and with liberty and justice for all. See, this nation always been a nation of great ideals and, quite honestly, inventions. But truth of the matter is thoughts, words, and actions are as far apart as east is from west and heaven is from earth. The ideology, the religion, and the philosophy of America, it all looks good on paper and it sounds good as well. But the actions of this nation is one that is most heinous, most atrocious, and most monstrous, more than any other nation or empire that has ever been on the earth. So you look at these words, one nation under God. For one, as a nation, they are not under God. They have put themselves in the seat of God. Such that even and Paul went to the Gentiles and spoke in their church in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4, and he warned us, but we didn't have a picture. We didn't have a picture of who this one that opposed God was to be. It is clear and evident now. This is factual who he is now. And he is a nation of people. He is not just one singular man, but he comes together as a man. They are a unit. This is why France and England and America and Britain, they can all have aught with one another. But they still together in one agenda as one man, as one nation of people. Despite their differences, they're not like Africa where you got different countries broken up and warring against one another. They're not like the Middle East where now you got Saudi Arabia going against Yemen and going against Qatar and America's behind that influencing these other nations to turn against their own kind. They're very skilled. They're excellent at that. They are of the devil. They know how to do that and break down other cultures, break down other nations of people, people of color. But they have a resolve because at the end of the day, they're preserving themselves. And at the end of the day, they all share in the spoils. When all the other nations are left to ruins and desolate and can't defend themselves, then Europe, France, Britain, America, they all go in. Belgium, they all go in and get the spoils and the benefits, and it continues their legacy. It's that one man. So when Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4, he said, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sit in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. What is the temple of God? This is where they took on Christianity, the body of the Messiah. That is the temple. They came into the body of the Messiah, and they established rule, and they established dominion and power. And they made a decree through the Catholic Church, if you will, This is what the fulfillment of this scripture is. So they oppose everything that is of God because they set themselves as God. See, when God spoke about separating, splitting mountains, well, he can split mountains. When God did miracles and defied what was the norm, you know, they do it. Look at the planes flying in the sky, defying gravity. It's breaking the law of gravity. Look at the inventions. Look how we can communicate, and you can hear me, you can't see me. But we can talk and we can communicate by phone, by cellular, by television. Look at television. Those things are miraculous. Those things in their own essence, miracles that only God could have done. But when you tap into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is the, all of these are the culminate, all of the years prior is the culmination to where Satan wanted to be, even with the Tower of Babel. And it wasn't complete, but he did not stop in trying to erect that tower. So now this generation is the completion of it. This Gentile era, all of it was saved until the time of Yeshua the Messiah comes. So they can do all of this great wonder and signs as the by the power of the devil given to the Antichrist in the name of Yeshua. So they're going to use the name of Yeshua to accomplish what they have accomplished. And so now they can reach up to at least the heavens, looking and going into the moon and looking at the planets. All of this is what the Gentiles have done in the name of Yeshua that make them prideful and think themselves to be God because they're doing things that only God has done. No other nation of people have gone into the depths of the sea or gone to the heights of heaven to try to be God. They respected this planet and where they were, and they did enough within the scope that God permitted them to do, even in a sinful state. But then this nation, when the sin was rectified through Yeshua and the gospel was brought to the Gentiles, then they came and they turned against God. They betrayed him. And now everybody that followed them is a betrayer, is a rejecter of God. Now people don't want anything to do with God now. They want to have their constitutional right. They don't want the biblical rights. They don't want the biblical freedom. The biblical freedom is bondage to them. You know, to tell women to dress properly, to be modest, to be with one man, to be with your husband, to submit yourself to your husband, you know, to have children, to honor and respect your parents, to have the husband love your wife, and loving your wife meaning be faithful. Don't be mean-spirited as I've been guilty of. Don't be unfaithful as I've been guilty of. I was a part of this culture. I was a byproduct of this culture. But I'm thankful to Yah that I've been delivered, that he revealed to me, and it gave me an opportunity to repent. But, you know, in a culture where you can't have more than one spouse legally, but then you can have all kind of men and women on the side. You know, a very deranged, a very confused, a very just, as I say, unnatural, sickened culture that we are in, that prides itself, that wants to be as God because by the grace of Yah, they've been permitted to do the things that they do to accomplish what they've accomplished. They got weapons that can destroy the earth many times over. That was stuff only God can do and that he's going to do with fire. Now, they make weapons with fire so they can go into nations and with fire destroy nations and people and everything. Why wouldn't they think they God? You can split the mountains and make highways through them like God said he can do. You know, you can bring judgment with fire, and then you execute judgment, and you think to have justice where you can put people in prison, where you can take away people's right to live, and all of these things that were reserved to God, they're doing now. Why wouldn't they oppose the true and living God and exalt themselves as God as they've done? So America prides itself on this. And I say the hypocrisy of it because when you look at America and just the Russia phenomenon that's going on now, you know, and Russia interfering with American politics, it continues to be a hot issue. But America been interfering in the politics of other nations. America been interfering with the election of her own people, black Americans, whether in 2000 where they did not allow blacks to vote, they tamper with the blacks' vote and so that George Bush can win. And then in 2004, they did the same thing. And then even during Trump's election, it was some allegations of voter fraud and how the Republican base continued to try to alter and make it difficult for black people to be able to vote and be counted in the process. These hypocrites have always been interfering domestically and internationally, interfering in our social makeup here in America, in our communities. You know, the condition of black people, we must understand the condition of black people is not by just happen chance. A lot of this is social engineering from the scientists that go and study through the sociology and what has been revealed to them and the wickedness that they have done and even kidnapping and even having black people as guinea pigs and doing all sorts of experiments. A lot of these blacks that's coming up missing, a lot of these blacks that's coming up missing and being found in their bodies and their organs are missing, this is government sanctioned. The government is behind this, and they're learning. They're doing a study in Prince George, Maryland, or something, because the numbers don't – there was something to do with the governor of that county, Prince George, of that state, was we want to investigate because that county is prospering. You know, they have a high achievement in graduation from schools. They have all of these things that the numbers don't add up. And so he wants to investigate that county to actually see what is going on. But, you know, what that tells me, it is proof. And this is it right here. I'm looking at it, you know. And this was the headline: Successful American Community is Under Investigation by Republicans. You know, a successful. So in Prince George County, Maryland, it says it's home to 7 out of 10 richest African American communities in the United States, and more African American wealth is garnered. Are gathered in the county than anywhere else in the U.S. And it is also home to the best educated in the nation as well. So it came as a shock when Maryland's governor, Larry Hogan, requested an investigation into data showing increased graduation rates in the county. Why would that alarm? Let me tell you why. See, this is proof black people as a whole ill condition has been socially engineered down to a science by this wicked government. And when expected numerical data results come in far different than what the government predicted, they have to investigate and see where they went wrong under the pretense of probably some criminal activity, under the pretense, so they call it an investigation. But they want to afford themselves the right to go in, question and do everything to see where they went wrong so they can continue to modify and social engineering, because this ain't supposed to be for us. So this nation been hypocritical. It has been the most unjust. You know, it has been everything that it is pointing the finger at everyone else to believe, every other nation. You know, look what they're saying about Russia. You know, look at the hypocrisy of just the religious order, you know, the mother of Christianity, the Catholic Church. One of their high priests has been accused, or it is alleged that he was having inappropriate sexual affairs with the young boys, the altar boys again. That's a continuing thing with them. The Catholic Church is the most corrupt, perverted, idolatrous, immoral religious institution on the face of the planet. It is said that if there is a hell, the Vatican is built on top of it. And there is a hell, and I don't doubt that the Vatican is built on top of it, just like America is, for which she is going to be. But so these damned grown men keep messing with these young boys. And by now, parents should know better not to trust their sons to be altar boys, because these grown, perverted, sick,
bastards of men alter these boys for life. So they take them from one altar boy serving the ministry to now they alter their lives from boys to men. It's a problem. Hypocrisy of this nation. Hypocrisy of this nation. You know, America is nothing more than a bully. Yes, I'm shooting at America because when oppression makes a wise man mad. You know, when you see these things and the audacity of this nation to justify its wickedness, and I'll get back to America being a bully, but let me get the scriptures of where I'm coming from. This is why, see, when you understand the scriptures, this is where you go with this. In Romans chapter 2, listen, this is why it incenses me, because it's biblical. Listen to this in Romans chapter 2. See, what we have to understand is Yah does not change. He doesn't change. So what he meant for Israel, what he meant for times past, and what he meant for today, and what he meant for those that have come, whether Christians, whether believers, whether saints, whether those who acknowledge their identity as Hebrew Israelites, what he meant then, he means now. Sin is sin with Yah. He has not conformed to accept it. He has not changed to accept it. And here's the thing about the Gentiles. See, once you were grafted in by Yeshua the Messiah, now you under the order and direction of what was purposed for the children of Yah in Israel. So whatever Yah had against Israel, if you're doing the same thing, Yah has against you. And it is why nowadays America and Christians are doing just what Israel did, what the Jews did, and why the apostles, why the prophets, why Yeshua had to come against them. Why God had to chasten them. Why God had to come against them. Why was a need for the gospel to be preached. Why was a need for the warning to come, to tell them to take heed. God's people have had this behavior. And now a grafted in branch comes in and do the same thing. And you think that God, because he's merciful and gracious, is not going to have the same judgment? Woe be unto you. But listen, so this applies. Paul was speaking this to the Romans. He said, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judge, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge do the same things. This is why I say, a hypocritical nation doing the same thing that they judging other people. But in their self-righteousness, in their pride, they don't see themselves to be the wicked, to be the evil, to be doing and hurting people and places and things that they're accusing others. They're quick to bring their wrath into other nations. As much as it was set up with with the unfortunate, and I say unfortunate for the innocent lives that were lost in 9/11, 2001. And it continues, but America been bombing other countries, been killing other innocent people. But you have George Bush, the Antichrist, the devil himself, making sure to have vengeance. He didn't have no Messiah-like character in him to preach the gospels. Caucasians don't. You know the part of the gospel that Caucasians want people of color to burden, to be forgiven, to turn the other cheek, you know, to watch your communication, to say words that are edifying, that are encouraging, to be able to forgive, to show mercy, to be loving, to be kind. That aspect of Yeshua that they want black people to love your enemies, and those that despitefully use you, to love them still, to reach out. They love that about us. That's what they love about us, as well as our ability to dance and sing and run and jump and climb and, you know, those physical attributes, those carnal attributes, those as well as our spiritual attributes in respect to loving your enemy. They love that, and they champion that, and they always want us to exemplify, represent that. But they don't carry that at all. Caucasians can't turn the other cheek when they're wrong. They can't forgive. They still mad at O.J. Simpson. And that's been over 20 years ago. And he got away, or he was acquitted by the system that they put in place. They still mad at O.J. Simpson. But there are a number of black cases in the hands of Caucasians that were guilty of killing blacks. Countless. And they turned the other cheek. They ignored and they acquitted one of their own because he was amongst the jury of his peers. And they acquitted him. And they acquitted them, and they continue to do this. Look at the police shootings. As much as the DA, but then also it's the people that are responsible for what's going on with the police department, not holding them accountable because they won't convict them. These people are desperate for survival, and their only means of survival is violence and weaponry. So they got to have police. They have to have they have to live by the sword, and they have to die by the sword. See, it wasn't handed to them by the grace of Yah. They took it by force, so they have to maintain it by force. They have to keep their position by force. So, but with that being said, I'd say America is a bullying nation. You know, just like Obama administration, you know, President Trump reneged on threat to Syria once Russia made it clear they will defend President Assad, the president of Syria, because they were putting it out there and they were going to make good on the threat to attack that sovereign nation that goes against all international norms and laws and even go against America's own constitution. So America has become a renegade lawless nation. But then she is pointing the fingers. They mad at Russia with Ukraine. They're mad at all these other nations of people that they feel they're mad with China in regards to Taiwan. You know what I'm saying? But then America continues to do and what the scriptures say. And that's why I said she's a big bully. You know, you trust and believe these lame politicians, tough talk, and American blah, blah, blah exceptionalism. They don't want none of Russia's bombs hitting American cities. Saints, America will never win another war. Her glory days are long gone. Only thing she can cowardly do now is bully small, defenseless nations, just like coward police do to unarmed, defenseless black men and women. She's left to this last resort. But the hypocrisy of it, the injustices, you know, look at the crimes that black people, for little or no evidence, or in even evidence that's been planted on them, and they get the severest of penalties. And to some degree, I believe it's so, because black folks shouldn't be indulging in crimes and doing the things they do. Some young girl got 20 years the other day. I guess she did a carjacking or something. I can't remember what it was, but she got the severest penalty of the law. And I'm happy, because she shouldn't have been doing what she did to hurt and injure someone else, or even to kill. She may have killed the woman or the victim. So I don't care that if we get the harshest penalty for crimes that we committed. I just care about when it's planted and when we're falsely accused and we're convicted of false accusations, something we're not guilty of. You got many black men that are in jail for rape, something that they didn't do, you know, but they were falsely accused. Crimes been set up and the DA didn't do a thorough investigation, wasn't concerned about the truth, and got innocent men behind bars. Then that's when it's a problem to me. America's filled with that. You know, being black is a crime. We guilty until proven innocent. When on the books it said we should be innocent until proven guilty. And that the prosecutor office should be neutral. They should be trying to not have a person convicted by searching out the truth, but they are more have more zeal to go and try to get people to be found guilty that have a high probability of being innocent, but they ignore the evidence that would exonerate the ones that they mark. And so we have it, the action. So most monstrous nation than any other nation or empire that has ever been on the earth. And this is historical fact, saints. This is not a figment of my imagination in an effort to be un-American, anti-American, to overthrow the government. I wouldn't overthrow this government. I'm going to be a good citizen. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do unto Yah first and foremost and then to the rulers of this world. But so I don't make up lies against be anti-American and make up lies against such a quote, good, great nation, end quote. I'm not making up lies against this nation for this, but this is the truth. Matter of fact, this is biblical, spiritual truth, and to not speak this truth would be ungodly, would be unmessianic or unchristlike. This is the gospel truth because the gospel is about Yeshua the Messiah. Matter of fact, the whole book, our holy Hebrew scriptures, the Bible is about him. So to speak this truth about America, a nation that once again prides herself on being a godly Christ-centered nation, which is to say a nation, a Christian nation, it is imperative to expose to be It is imperative to expose who this nation to be as the Antichrist, that the scripture forewarned us the saints would come. It forewarned us that he would come in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of Yah. And so now we go back to Romans. It said, but you, we are sure, this is the second verse, because he said, you condemn yourself. For you that judge do the same things, Americans do the same things that she accusing others is doing. As individuals, as a people that is not part of her white privilege, white class, white power people, and then the other nations, accusing the other nations, she's condemning herself. And then it says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against such which commit such things. So God don't have to fabricate stories. God don't have to be involved in propaganda. See, America involves in propaganda. America go and create a scene, and then she comes to be, she's the arsonist, and then she goes as the fireman. She creates a scene in order to justify herself and her evil actions. This is what this nation is skilled in doing. This is why they were saying that Assad is going to be in Syria bombing with chemical weapons. She was setting it up so that now she can be justified in going to bomb that nation again until Russia intervened. You know, war on crime, war on drugs, that was the pretext. The war on drugs meaning so then it justified for the American government to come into the black communities and decimate the communities and put us in jail for drugs. And it's very interesting now that the drug scene, the epidemic, they call it the opioid epidemic. Opioid epidemic now is ravaging Caucasian communities and their young people. This is what's so silly and stupid about these people, these racist, privileged people, that they don't understand what you sow is what you reap. They're dealing with the backlash now. So black generations, at least two generations were decimated by the government-sanctioned crack epidemic. And they didn't see it as a health crisis. They saw it as a crime issue. And it allowed for their prisons to flourish. It allowed for the privatization of prisons and for many to get rich citizens or companies, corporations to get rich off of the plight that black people was in because of the influx of drugs and then the guns that was put into the community to war against the community. Just all the elements was put in place by the social engineering to get us to be a people that they needed us to be so they could profit off of. And it happened to a T. So they got wealthy, they got rich, and they had justification to do any and everything to us as a people, imprisoning us, and so that children had broken, the homes were broken, the communities were broken. The children are buck wild. you know, marriage was a thing of the past, divorce rate, and men in jail, and they had single motherhood grew. And so now, and that ill affected the children, and then you had these children that were reared up by single mothers that didn't have no direction in life, and it just a vicious cycle was in place. Such that this is why I said a lot of behaviors and conduct is from the social engineering. But the backlash is now, I was in Orange County, California yesterday and had the privilege of talking with some Caucasians, just some people in that community. And the young people are ravaged. They're going to sober living homes. And it's sad. And I made mention of the crack, but they didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? The ones that I made mention to it, I was trying to draw the parallel, but they didn't get it. And I wasn't certainly going to gloat or anything and say that y'all getting what you got because of what you did to our people, or to my people. But the truth of the matter is, just like young black children were victims because of what this government did against the adults and making crack babies by the influx of crack that was put into our neighborhoods, in our communities, it is coming back and it is destroying and decimating their young people now. These young people, the ones I was taught, it was three of them yesterday in different occasions, same issue. 19 and the oldest was 20, but two were 19 and one was 22, excuse me, one was 22. But the story, and one of the young men was telling me, because it was a pretty wealthy part of Orange County, he said, you see all these homes and things. He said, they look good. He says, a lot of money out here and everything. He said, but the hell is in the houses, because he came from a rich family. His family was rich, so he knew from experience. And he started, and I said, he said, there's so much depression and things in the midst of these rich communities, Caucasian communities. And I was asking him, where is it coming from? Where is the depression coming from? He couldn't really give a direct answer. So, and you know, spiritually speaking, I know it's because their soul sickened. They're soulless and they're sick, and there's a craving and yearning to be connected to God, but they don't know how because their pride has deceived them and short-circuited them. And so they have all the things of this world, but they still unhappy, they're still angry, they're still bitter, they're still lacking. So, but the backlash is now the drug epidemic has come upon them in their youth, in their high office of men and women that have high places. So now they want to do something. Now they want to call it a health crisis. Now the government just passed a bill the other day giving billions of dollars to combat, to deal with this. They're not investing billions of dollars in prison and lying in the pockets of corporate America to begin to imprison these like they did black people, but now they want to help. Now it's a crisis, and they don't call it a drug epidemic now. Now they call it an opioid. You see the trickery and so that they use and the propaganda and the wordplay? This is the idea, this is the philosophy, but see, this man, he outsmarts himself, and his evil catch up with him, and there's no remedy. And so it says in, continue Romans chapter 2, and you think you, old man, that judges them which do same such, let me reread that, let me slow down. And think of you, this old man, that judge them which do such things, and doeth the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despise you the richness of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance, or lead you to repentance? But after your hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So they despise the rich goodness of God by rejecting it. God is calling them to repentance. See, the goodness of God, the forbearance of God, the long suffering, the forbearance, the mercy of God, the suffering of God, the long suffering, that is to bring us to repentance. That's what that is to do, to bring us to repentance. That is not to to bring us to the pride and the arrogance and these things that would make us turn away from God. And that's what these devils have done, that they have turned away from God. God has given them mercy. He has given them grace. You know, God has done these things that are good to the Gentiles, as he has even afforded it through the fall of Israel for the temporary time. But they didn't use it for repentance. And this is why they despise it, because they use it for evil. And their heart is hardened and they're bitter. And they won't change. And so the wrath of Yah is coming against them, for that matter. So this is the scripture. And this, when I read the scripture, it's what made me think about what we're talking about. And since the time of Constantine, going back to the scripture, forewarned us about what would come and how they would come in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, many would come in my name, Matthew told us, and the gospel told us. But since the time of Constantine, Satan, that deceiver, had designed a plan that, since he couldn't beat the saints who were persecuted and martyred and excommunicated, imprisoned, beaten, fed alive to wild beasts for sport and entertainment before thousands and under every imaginable evil and cruel punishment, he would instead join the saints. When he did all the evil he can do and he couldn't stop the gospel from spreading and changing people to come out of the wicked culture, come up out of the wicked religion that was oppressing them, and come up out of sin, because sin is the fuel of religion and of oppression. Come out of sin. Sin is big business. When you come out of sin, then there's no need for the priest and all these other entities over you. You are under the spirit of Yah at that point. So to come out of sin, and they all enjoy the sport that they made of Christians. And it reminds me, even during, for blacks, you know, how they would have these lynching parties where they would burn black men and the whole communities would come and they would celebrate. They would hang them and they would be celebrating. They would cut the body pieces to have a souvenir. It's the same mindset. Why? Because you're dealing with the same people. And so this was the birth of what we call Christianity today, that is the Christian religion. From what I just said, this, when Satan couldn't beat him during Constantine time and Constantine decreed that Christianity, or that the followers of Christ could be at peace in the empire, this was the birth of Christianity. So the churches today that are the daughters of the Catholic Church, who is the mother of the harlots, and I have said a long time now that the Christian Gentiles of today are doing what Israel have done in the past. And that's why I say that. This is why I say that. And it's hypocrisy in every bit of the word. They're just more sophisticated. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus or Yeshua after the fact of his death, burial, and resurrection. And they have won over the whole world in the authority, power, dominion in the name of Jesus with the spreading of Christianity. No other name of God or religion would have allowed the Caucasian Christian Gentile man his present place and status as white power and white supremacy. But the gospel was taken to the Gentiles and they perverted it into a worldwide religion of Christianity that preserves them at the misfortune, the injustice, the abuses of people of color, primarily the most hated, his object of scorn, the black people here in America, a no people to him, a people that had not existed to him, a no people deserving of any honor, respect, care, or concern in life. Yet we, a despised and rejected people by these racist Caucasian Gentiles, will come as an unpleasant surprise to them. It is we who are the children of the Almighty Most High God, Yah. We are the true Jews. We are the people of the book. We are the apple of God's eye. We are a people, though they don't think that we are a people, and they have shown themselves to be most hypocritical and bestial and wicked against us. For my live streamers, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. We have not benefited from their power, dominion, and authority to give us justice, to be fair with us, to give us the advantages that they have, to level the playing fields for us. No, they have a double standard. They've been biased. Their constitution wasn't meant for us. Law enforcement to preserve and protect was not meant for us. It is to protect them as the elite, and then out of their elite, the elitists, even higher than them, which would be the Caucasian people. They consider themselves to be of supremacy. They're the elite. And then the elitists is their politicians and their corporate CEOs and the power players. And then even the ones in secret, you know, there's real talk and it's real about the Illuminatis and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the bankers and these very powerful men sitting in high places, wickedness in high places, evil spirits ruling the world and ruining the world. They exist. And the ones that we see, don't make up all the population of them and who we don't see. It's so much wickedness and corruptness. So America is not fit to be pointing a finger at any nation. America is not fit to be so hard in judgment and so quick to want to use weaponry. Scripture said in Matthew 23, you know, he said, woe to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Woe. You scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You know, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You know, you have an outward appearance of being righteous unto men, but within you full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You'll find this in Matthew 23:28. He said, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity, lawlessness. Our legislators, lawless, our police, lawless, our judges, lawless, our courts, lawless, all three branches of government, lawless, and a hypocritical. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. You know, they esteem and they uphold things that are of no value, that God despise, and they don't think that God see their wickedness. And this is why I say in closing, man, I would never come up against this government and attempt bear arms and shoot at them and do different things. The way I'm coming against this government is through the prayer and the way of living of Yeshua the Messiah. I can't do what God is going to do. I will fall far short and will lose my soul. Let me attempt to kill another man when the scripture said, thou shalt not kill. Let me attempt to kill and arm myself in vengeance against what you've done to my people. I'm not that stupid, and not so much because I fear you, but because I fear God, because when I die to death, then I have to stand before God. I don't want that second death to be thrust with Satan and his demon and all of you going to be that are racist and hypocritical and wicked and evil in the lake of fire. I don't want to be there with you. So I'd rather get it right with the Most High and take advantage of his love, mercy, and grace and repent. And this is what I'm telling you. If you're listening, you must constantly examine yourself and you must repent. And if you're working for the government, if you're working for the God of this world and he has you going anti-God, against God, and have you doing things that are not right even morally, let alone spiritually or legally, find you another job that amount of money that you're making is not worth your soul. Your soul is priceless. Find you another job where you can have peace of soul, that when the Lord returns, you can greet him in peace, because he's going to destroy this world to come, and all the powers that be, they're going to bow down to him. So, beloved, it's worth taking into consideration. Until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. Take care.